So anyway, I want to start the Sabbath this afternoon. I want to begin or take off from what we talked about last Sabbath. Of course, that we talked about spiritual gifts. If you're on with us, we talked about those spiritual gifts, and we talked about the purpose of those spiritual gifts now, for us, now today, and for us to be using towards the end of time, towards the time when Christ returns to this earth. And we talked about the purpose of those spiritual gifts was for what? Was to use within the body of Christ, us, the church. We talked about the spiritual gifts don't just include miracles or healings or being able to speak in languages. The Bible says tongues, but that's languages. That's what it's talking about. And then we saw that, of course, when we were talking about that, we saw the purpose for the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we all know what that is. That's God's power. God uses that, and he's given it to each one of us after baptism. And that those, one of those was the use of spiritual gifts that God has given us, to use those spiritual gifts God has given us through the Holy Spirit, what he had given to us after baptism. We know that the Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is something that enables us to really know all truths of God, to understand the truths of God. It is to renew our minds as God sees fit, and to prove the will of God. What is God's will for all of us? We also know that we're all very much encouraged by God's Holy Spirit. We all know we're taught by God's Spirit. And because of all those things, when we look at all those things that we talked about and what God's Spirit does for us and what the spiritual gifts that God gives does for us, it means that we're empowered to use the gifts that God has given us. We have to be aware of them. As we remember by the Apostle Paul, he told us to what? He says, don't neglect them. Don't be ignorant of them, of those spiritual gifts. And so we're expected to use those gifts, to multiply those gifts, as we read in the parable of the talent. We're going to go later there today, and we're going to go through that just a little bit again. But we're not supposed to bury those talents, because we know what happened. Those two of them doubled their gift, right? One had five, he gained 10. One had two, he gained 4. And so on, and we know the last one buried him. So we understand that that person who buried their talent really had a different frame of mind, I would say, probably a different spirit that he was dealing with. We're expected to understand what those are. We're expected to not misuse them in any way. And we talked about the three reasons why spiritual gifts were given. We were told they were given because of what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of service. We talked about they're given to build the body of Christ, for the ministering of those gifts one to another. And we're told we're given those gifts because God loves us. Our Father loves us. He cares about us. And so we when we were going through that, on that first sermon, we talked and we asked the question, what are spiritual gifts? And we said that they are an extraordinary faculty given to each one of us according to our individual capacities. Okay? Our capacities. Infusing maybe new abilities, again, as we use those existing abilities, that we can maybe take those to a higher level. We talked about charis. We talked about charisma. And when you look at those two words in the New Testament, those mean favor or grace or free gift. And I think both those words, when you look into it, mean divine abilities, meaning that they're God-given, aren't they? And so those abilities help us make a contribution to the welfare, the growth, for the development of the body. This body, right? Body of the church. And again, we talked about that it's given after baptism through the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's what we went through. We also talked about, I'm just rehashing what we talked about, our begettal. That our begettal, our calling, is one of those gifts. And that we're each given another gift, at least one, as it stated in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. And there are also multiple gifts, as we learned when we saw the story of Timothy. We also talked about that interesting fellow in the Old Testament who built the tabernacle, who had all of these abilities normally, right? He was a craftsman, definitely. He was a builder. He knew things in metal and wood and other materials. And so God gave him an extra abundance, I guess you could say, of gifts to enhance his abilities to make this tabernacle a perfect tabernacle. So today I want to go on further from that, and I want to look at some other aspects of these spiritual gifts. So I want to ask the question, and maybe you've asked the question in your mind, and maybe you thought about it in your mind. I don't know. I have, and I've thought about it some myself, is what's the difference then between talents, skills, and spiritual gifts? I know because someone asked me last Sabbath about that, and they were asking me, so is my spiritual gifts this? Could my spiritual gifts be this? And I hope I could answer that more effectively today as we go through this sermon, because, again, we have talents and skills that were given naturally, and we're going to talk about that. But we have also spiritual gifts God gives us to enhance some of those abilities and talents and skills. But again, those spiritual gifts come after baptism. So let's begin again with the person I talked about, and that's natural talents. Right? You and I are born, I guess you could say, or we're given by God. They're passed down from generation to generation, certain talents. So again, they're given at birth and are given for us, for that individual, to enhance that individual, a talent, a skill. But then it's also given to help those in general, people in general around them. And we know that talents can include what? Giftedness in certain areas. Maybe you can play the flute really well or an instrument or you're an artist, right? It's in certain areas. Necessary, again, they don't necessarily, I should say, equate with spiritual gifts. It's natural talent that we have. Now, one of the things I would say a natural ability is the gift to gab. Now, you may think that's me. It's not. Maybe I have a better ability than some. Maybe. I don't know. But I think of my grandfather. My grandfather, he knew no stranger. He would go talk to anybody. He could talk for... It was an amazing man. Anywhere he went, it seemed like I would go with him as a young boy in the town. He would go into these little cafes and little stores, and everybody knew him. Charles! And they would come in, and he would start talking. He had that ability, and that was a talent. It was a natural talent that he was given. Well, then we move on, and we have these skills, or these learned skills that you and I are given. And, of course, some of us, we go to school to learn skills. I went to school for electronics to learn that skill. Some go to plumbing school. Some go to electrician school. Some go to, whatever, as an apprentice, to learn a certain skill so they can be skilled in that general area. And again, it's something that we learn throughout life for the purpose of what? Really benefiting us, right? So we can get a good job, so we can provide for our families. But again, it's also something that could benefit others, as we know. Well, then we look at the third one that we talked about, and that's spiritual gifts. And these are given, as I said before, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. They are given following baptism, and they are given to benefit the church. Right? They're given to benefit the church because we talked about it's an outgoing concern for love and love towards another more than ourselves. God reserves these spiritual gifts, as we're talking about, to those who are a part of the body of Christ. That's what they're reserved for. So here's a good way I was thinking about it. Good way to look at it. Natural talents or abilities are given at birth. Spiritual gifts are given following baptism. And these natural talents or these abilities and skills can be transformed. Okay, so you can take those natural abilities, those skills that we have, those abilities that we do have, and by the Holy Spirit, they can be transformed into a spiritual gift, can't they? as we saw back in Exodus 31 and verse 2. They glorify God, they edify the church, they edify one another. And again, they can eventually, if worked at, be empowered as spiritual gifts. So we have natural talents, we have skills that we've developed, and we have the spiritual gifts that are God-given. All which can vary in degree or kind. Right? All can vary, can't they? So the one thing maybe you've asked or thought about is, what about these spiritual gifts versus the fruit of the Spirit? Because we all know we're working on ourselves, or we should be working on ourselves as God's people, as God's sons and daughters, to develop our character, who we are. Again, the fruit of the Spirit. So what's the difference between these spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit? Both spiritual gifts and fruit of the Spirit, when we look at them, are necessary for us to be productive and necessary for us to be efficient and effective members of the church. Each Christian is expected to display all of the fruit of the Spirit, but not necessarily to display all the gifts that God has given. Because sometimes gifts are silent, aren't they? Gifts are serving. They're doing something for somebody else. So it's not necessarily that you, but as our character is built, we are to display the fruit of the Spirit as individuals, our character. So the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit are being qualities. Right? They're who we are. That's how we're made up. The fruit of the Spirit. They are inward characteristics of a converted Christian person that goes directly to the heart. And it really indicates what we should be, what we're striving to be. And of course, that's to honor God and glorify Jesus Christ. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, mercy, kindness, faith, temperance, I think is one. I don't know if I laid them all right there. I'm just going off the top of my head. But they're reflected in our what? Our attitude. Who we are, our attitude. And they're a byproduct of an intimate and obedient relationship with Christ. Spiritual gifts are doing qualities. Remember, we talked about that last Sabbath. I talked about, you know, we have to be doing something with what we have. Knowing things and having that in our minds and brains doesn't mean anything. We have to do something with what we have. And so they're doing qualities. They're task-oriented functions of roles that God has called and equipped each of us with to perform. Spiritual gifts indicate what we do, not what we are. They are seen in aptitudes. They are given when we submit and become really obedient disciples of Jesus Christ, evidenced by the building of the fruit of the Spirit God has given us, by growing in that, by developing that. So these fruits, as we grow and mature and become the people we should be, should balance out over time. Spiritual gifts and fruit of the Spirit both need to be developed. You know, when you look at that and you think about those things, the qualities, I mean, I sometimes in my mind, I look at the fruit of the Spirit and think, man, there's so many things I got better in. And it's really not that many, but there's a whole lot of work to do in those fruits, whole lot. Then you add all along these spiritual gifts that God has also given to us to build on, to serve the body of Christ. There's a lot for us to be doing, isn't there? God is concerned with what we do. God is concerned also, though, with how we do it. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Because it's interesting, you know, we can say that we use the spiritual gifts. I'm using the spiritual gifts God has given me. I'm doing these things. But if I don't have love and I don't love you, then it's for nothing. It doesn't mean anything. God is not pleased when we do that. Here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So again, we see here that the fruit of the Spirit are being qualities, aren't they? Qualities by attitudes. And it's a byproduct of a healthy relationship with our Creator, God. And we have to have those qualities to be effective servants. Spiritual gifts are doing qualities again. I'm going to repeat, they're doing qualities. You have aptitude, you have service, you have leadership abilities, you have helps that we do as God's people for others, not ourselves. And it's so... Again, we talked about those abilities, these spiritual gifts are supernatural endowments given by God, right? Given by God, but necessary for an effective service as members of this family. So I think we then have to ask a question. Whom are these spiritual gifts given? Now, we've talked about it. Last Sabbath, I said that we're all given a spiritual gift, at least one. Besides the calling, besides the Holy Spirit given to us. And I think when we read through Peter and Paul, we see that they've really, I think, took for granted the spiritual gifts that were spread widely across through the church. Because there's a lot of scriptures that talk about that. You don't have to turn there, but in Romans 1 and verse 11, it says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." So we have this new church in Rome here that they're talking about. And it was so new that the Apostle Paul was coming to work with them. He was coming to encourage them and build them up and help them become established. Well, let's do turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. You know, the gifts that we see in Romans 1, verse 11, seem to be more keeping with the brethren in this local congregation for the benefit of each other, which is very true. But in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, we find that there's an addition, right? There was addition to the administration and the hierarchy of the organization in the church. Here in Romans 12 and verse 6, Romans 12 and verse 6, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." So we see there, again, gifts differing. Not everybody gets the same gift. And we understand they are going to be used in the church for the benefit of the church. And it says, "If prophesying, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or minister, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives in liberality, he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And then we go over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The profit that you received from being..." Well, that we gained from the song leader today. The profit that we gained from the sermonette that we had today. Those are jobs that aren't, you know, they may not be ordained, but they serve us. They serve the brethren. And they do a job that profits all of us. Right? That's what it is. It's a profit for all of us. So everyone we see here, but there's other things that are done that we don't see all the time. There's other serving that we see that goes on. We see the women who bring in the food for the potluck and bring in the plates and the silverware and others that help others get into the building. Those are all serving things, but we don't always see those, do we? But those are just important. So all of us fit together. All of us are a part of that. So everything we have comes from God. We know that. So it fits in. We all have a purpose in this life. And that's why God called each one of us into this body. There's a reason and a purpose. But it's also important that we don't become ignorant, isn't it? As it talked about, just because God gave us those abilities, or I should say, arrogant. We shouldn't become arrogant because maybe God gave us certain abilities. Verse 11, if we go there, here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11 says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So everything we know comes from God as he wills. He distributes it. And then we drop down to verse 30. It says, "Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way." We know and we understand that everybody has all these gifts. But we are to be zealous, right? We're to be zealous for spiritual gifts, that God would grant us those, that God would let us develop those, not for ourselves, but for the body of Christ. It's to profit the body of Christ. It's to edify the body of Christ. And as a result, it brings joy and gladness to you, doesn't it? Because you can do something and bring something to the church. Again, I want to mention, everyone has a gift. Everyone has a gift. But again, it's a doing quality, isn't it? So we are to minister it. We're to look at it, what it means in our lives, and be good stewards of that gift to the grace of God. So then we come down to, how are these gifts distributed? How are these gifts distributed? We know we don't all have them all. We know God, it's by through the will of God that he empowers us with them. But how are they distributed? How does God, you know, do that? Well, let's go back to verse 11. It tells us, "But one, the same Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So we see that when we talk about that, that we're going to see that there's four basic points that we should look at. Just the distribution of those spiritual gifts is by God's will, first and foremost. It's by the will of God that they're given. We know people can and do have a part in developing them. That's a part of our responsibility, is to develop what God has given to us. But the ultimate source of all the gifts that we're given is from God and through God. He knows what is needed in the body of Christ, and what gifts are the best fit for each individual role of service. Can you imagine if we just understood that? I mean, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, okay, if you look at the body, our bodies, we all have parts, right? And if you had your foot, and your foot has a gift, it's to run amok. It's to get us around. It's to, you know, do sports. It's to, your foot does that. Can you imagine if the foot said, "Man, I wish I could see like the eye"? Well, that's not a gift that the foot was given. Only the eye was given that gift. And the eye says, "Man, I wish I could run like that foot." No, that's it. So individual parts. As God sees fit, he gives people those gifts. How we use that gift, then God looks at to see what we're going to do with it, how we're going to use it. And if we be a person that he'd want to give that gift to, because sometimes I'm sure he looks at it and says, no, they're not ready for that. Maybe that's something that has to be developed in them. So I hope that you see and understand what I'm saying. If we really understood that, the way God wants us to understand it, it would keep us from complaining that, man, I wish I was like that person. I wish I could do that like they do. I wish I could talk like they talk. But we have to understand, we have to be happy with the gifts God given us and be happy for them that God gave them the gift that he gave them. Again, it's for the benefit of all. All of our body parts benefit the body, don't they? Just like we all are called to benefit the whole body of Christ. So we have to look at ourselves as being a part of this collective body, that we all have an individual part to play, and understand yourself within that. Know that, okay, I may not be able to do that, and that's okay. Well, the second part of that, about gifts being distributed and how God distributes them, is limited really to by degree and level, and the level which they're given. So indications are that the member has to at least have one spiritual gift, but no individual has them all. We know that, we see that, and understand that. We know that the apostle said that he had a number of gifts, but he didn't have them all. That's why we need various types of individuals in various offices, in various types of service in the church. We can't all be yellow pencils. I mean, wow, would that be boring? I mean, that would be so boring. I mean, we can look at this congregation, and there's a multiple of personalities in this congregation. Can you imagine if we were all the same? Whew. I'm so glad we're not. But what does it mean when we look at this? What is it I'm trying to say? It means that not all the spiritual gifts are represented in a congregation necessarily. But we have enough. And God knows what each congregation needs. He understands that, and he gifts it accordingly. Right? He gifts it accordingly to what he sees, to what he sees the congregation doing. And in a larger sense, I think he's involved in building and developing the whole body, us. Well, the third reason spiritual gifts are given. Well, I should say they're given, but they're distributed over time. Distributed over time. You know, as we looked at the apostles, and we know that none of them had all the gifts, but you can look at those generations, and you can look at our generations, and you can see that every generation doesn't have all those gifts. The foundational gifts of the apostles, prophets, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, were abundant at that time in the church, were abundant in those eras of the church. And then they did not appear or to be prevalent after. No, didn't mean that they weren't there. They just didn't seem to be prevalent. And so it's not to say that those gifts won't be there when the need arises. Right? When God knows what the church needs to develop to a point when he's going to return to this earth, he knows what's going to be needed in order for that to happen. They may not be here right now, but he knows when they're going to be. And God will put them in the place when that happens. We can look through the scriptures, and there's all indications that those who are, I guess, contemporaries of Jesus Christ experienced certain miraculous gifts. And we can look back to the apostles and the prophets. But they weren't experienced generations after that. I hope you know what I'm saying. They weren't evidence. You didn't see them as much. I mean, we can look now and say, I've heard people say, and I said this last Sabbath, I think that, well, how come it seemed like so many healings happened then, and so many things happened back then, and we could see those things. We don't see them anymore, so God's not doing them. Well, no, they're still there. They're just not evidence. We don't see them as much. You know, the Hebrews tells us that there was a dispensation from the early Pentecost spirit that we saw back in that time when the first Pentecost came around, when the Holy Spirit was given, all the way down to the time when the church was no longer seen. There was a difference. That spirit of Pentecost was there in the beginning. It was there. They craved it, right? They wanted it. It was just amazing. And you ask, well, why did God do it that way? Well, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things we don't know in the church. There's very little history of the church when you try to go back and look at it. And some of the men and ministers have gone back and done a lot of good history and have a lot of some of it. But they don't know all the things, because you think about the church and history, most of it is written by the enemies of the church. And so what we see always, we don't know what was going on, really. And during that time, we didn't see the apostles, we didn't see the prophets, we didn't see a lot of healings, that sort of thing. From really, I think you would look at it from 120 AD on until the time that we have today. So sometimes those things are there but not seen as much. You know, the gifts are there. God gives gifts. Well, the fourth reason that I have here that spiritual gifts are distributed is they're limited to capacity. Now you think about you and yourself. What's your capacity to attain new knowledge? What's your capacity for understanding? What's your capacity to do what do what God has given you and develop not yourself but others? God looks at our capacity. He looks at us individually. You know, he looks at the dynamics of our aging. I think he looks at the dynamics of, you know, illness or injury. He sees those things and can exert a limiting effect upon those giving of the spiritual gifts. Again, you can't always look at those big things. You and I can't look at the big things saying, oh, I don't have those gifts. We have to look at some of the small things. You know, in Matthew 25, it talks about, again, the parable of talents. And I want to go over there if you want to begin turning there, because we know that this man traveling is Christ. He's leaving and he decides to give these things to his workers. And I'm just going to break it up that way. These abilities upon his servants. And he gives them according to proportion, again, to the ability, to the capacity that he feels each individual can handle. Again, so we're talking about to the capacity. They're given, distributed by capacity. Christ distributes these spiritual gifts, I think, to us in a certain similar fashion. He considers our innate, our genetic abilities, and disposition in the process. Who is this person really? Are they going to do what I want them to do with this? Are they going to move forward? Are they going to develop? Not just themselves, others. As we know, these gifts are for everyone else, not ourselves. But in the process, we develop ourselves, don't we? And so we have this Matthew 25, verse 14 through 16. If you're there, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Again, to his ability, capacity. We know the story. The 2 men who got the 5 and the 2 talents doubled them, didn't they? And the one who hid it, he took from him and gave it to the one who had the 10 at the time. And so if you drop down to verse 28, it says, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has these gifts, who has been using these gifts, who has developed these gifts, give them more." Because it says, "More will be given, and he will have abundance." So it tells me that if we're productive servants of God, if we use the abilities he's given to us and take those talents and double them and multiply them, he'll give us more. But when we don't, he may take that gift that he's given you and give it to somebody else. That's kind of scary in my book. Because I want to make sure that I use what God has given me. Because when we discover our spiritual gifts, when we see what those gifts are, that's one thing. But it's using them and multiplying them. That's a whole other thing. And it's our responsibility as Christians, as God's children, to do that. So the point of this parable is very simple. God expects us to use the talents and gifts we're given. That's it. Doesn't seem too hard, does it? He expects us to use what's been given. Again, if we don't, we could lose them. He will give it to somebody else. And we've seen that through the church. We've seen people use given talents and abilities, and later on, they don't anymore. They're not a part of a church anymore. God is the source of those spiritual gifts, but as members of the body, we have a part in the development of those gifts. And we take that for granted too often in our lives. We overlook it. You know, maybe we're ambitious regarding those gifts. Maybe we are. Maybe we're doing all we can to serve the body. But also there's times when we're neglectful. We ignore them. Well, we put them on the back burner. And the Apostle Paul tells us that we're to eagerly desire those best gifts. We're to want those. And then we're to take those gifts and we're to go on and show them for the church, for the body. But you have to couple that, as we talked about earlier, with love, don't you? Love and concern, and outgoing concern for the body of Christ. You know, the problem with the Corinthians is that they misuse the spiritual gifts. They misuse them. And what the Apostle Paul said is, the gift is there. You have the gift. You've been given this gift. But you have to reflect the love of God towards others. When using that gift, as well as building, I guess you could say, godly character. Building the fruit of the Spirit. Again, they go hand in hand when we look at this. You know, most of us here, I would say, have been around for a long time. Are part of the church. A long time. And the book of Hebrews talks about when we should have been teachers. Right? We've had sermons about being teachers. We're going to be teachers eventually in the millennium and on. And he says, you need to have someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You need to have milk because you can't handle the solid food. How long have we been students? How long have we been students? How long have we had the truth of God in our laps, His Word? How long? How well have we used? How well have we applied the gift of spiritually revealed knowledge that we have all received? Now, we are in a place right now, you and I, sitting here in services, wherever you are, we are in a place right now that we should be preparing ourselves to be teachers. And in order to do that, you have to use what you've been given. What abilities? When the day comes when God begins to bring people into His church, what are you and I going to do with what we've been given? It's a big responsibility, isn't it? It truly is. But we have to be ready. That's the point of me giving this sermon, is we have to be ready. I've seen people with tons of abilities and talents and skills and spiritual gifts they've been given that aren't being used. And over time, I haven't used what I've been given. It's not easy to say that, because we are ashamed sometimes on what we aren't and what we haven't done in our lives. But we have to admit it, don't we? We have to understand it. Okay, yes, I did that, or I didn't do that. But you have to understand in our minds, how long will it be when God is ready to bring the whole world to a conclusion? We don't know. But the point is, we have to be ready. Let's turn to Isaiah 61. We have to be ready, brethren. We have to look at ourselves, to develop ourselves. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So Christ said to them right here, this day is fulfilled in Scripture. I'm telling you this right now, in your ear, in your ears, I'm telling you this. This, what I'm telling you right now, not the rest of it, as we'll get to, right? Not the rest of it, but this Scripture, he says, fulfilled in your ears. Well, what else? What happened? Well, we still have the rest of the Scripture. And that says what? The story to be told because someone has to come along. Think about it. Someone. And preach the day of vengeance of God. God is not happy with this world at present. He hasn't been happy with it for a long time. He's not happy with the situation he sees. He is coming to a place where he's very angry every day. We know that because that's what Psalm says. And we see that the day of vengeance has to be preached, has to go out. The gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached in all the world as a witness. Right? That was Christ's gospel that he came to preach. And so there will come people who we know are going to sigh and cry for the abominations according to Ezekiel chapter 9. They're going to sigh and cry. And somebody's got to do that. That's a part of this whole process. Somebody has to do that. But notice what the rest of the story is. Look at continuing in verse 2 here of Isaiah 61. It says, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil for joy, or the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Who's going to do that? You all are. You, everyone sitting here in wherever you're at, you're going to do that. And yes, the ministry is too, but there's not enough ministers to do that. That will be part of your ministry. To serve those people. You know, when you start using those spiritual gifts and you begin to develop them, you become a tool, an instrument in the hands of God. And you're able to comfort those and console those individuals who are going to be going through those things. People are going to have to be brought in and taken care of. And these people are going to be, they're going to be hurting. They're going to be suffering. And not only do they suffer, but because of what they've went through, but it's going to be a lot worse. It's going to be even worse, more severe. They're going to have to go through a period of destruction that's going to happen to the world. We know the story. We've talked about it. Usually the last day of the feast, last great day, we talk about that. It's going to be a horrible time. And so what am I saying? What am I talking about when I'm up here? And the point I'm trying to make is that we have been students. You and I have been students. It's time to become teachers. To become helpers. To find those spiritual gifts that we are good at. Even if we don't find those areas that we're good at. We have to ask God for them. We have to pray to God for them to be able to serve the people, which is so very important. You see where this goes? It goes around again to us, again, serving others. It's not about us. You know, sometimes there are those who think that we have to open the Bible and explain all the technicalities. I say, no, we don't. I've had some who've come to me and asked certain questions and say, Does that affect your salvation? How does that affect your salvation? Does it have anything to do with it? Well, no. So then does it matter? Does it really matter that you know that? Yeah, as human beings, we want that. We want to know. We want to understand everything. Some more than others. But does it really matter that we understand some of these things? And we have to. That they think we have to have all the technicalities. We have to know everything. You know, but what we're talking about is really simple, isn't it? It's simple. This is what he's talking about. There are talents that are out there. There's abilities. There's gifts. And that's where they need to be, serving others. Okay, so we know that spiritual gifts are distributed, or how they're distributed. The next question is then, how do we discover them? How do we discover those spiritual gifts? You know, there's even some people will say that spiritual gifts were only given to the New Testament church or to the early church and are irrelevant today. Well, they feel that these gifts, they are, that if the gifts are there, they need to be understood fully. And sometimes we don't understand the gifts fully, do we? We don't understand what he's doing. If gifts were necessary to achieve the purposes in the past, this is what they're saying, then why wouldn't they be necessary today? So how do we go from that to where we are? How do we move forward in that? You know, often in my recollection, that's all I can think of at this point, in the process of serving is when spiritual gifts come to light. In the process of serving. You know, and not just in the spiritual gifts, but even our natural talents and abilities and our skills. I think we can look at those as really multi-step gradual processes that we go through in life. And I can say, as an example, and I'll use me as an example, I've been in the church, not baptized, I will make that clear. I've been in the church, though, 56 years. 56 years. You know, and I didn't know some of my abilities or gifts that I had until just a few years ago. I didn't understand what those were. I think there's a time I didn't care. I didn't worry about it. I mean, I'm just being honest. But I began to understand them through the challenges, through the difficulties that I had to face in life. And I had to come to understand them at a whole new level. And I had to surrender to God and stop trying to do things on my own. And once I did that, I began to understand what some of those gifts were and what God was trying to teach me, what God was trying to show me. And there were times that I had to go looking for them. I had to go digging for them because I wanted to know what it was I needed to be doing. You know, many, and I'll say maybe you, in this room or online, have not discovered various physical aptitudes until later in life. Others may have possibly lived their whole lives without realizing how they can enrich their own life and the life of others around them. Knowing that they had abilities they just didn't use. This is why we, as parents, need to encourage our children to explore as many avenues and opportunities as possible while you're young. And I mean that as far as serving and dealing and helping people within the congregation. You know, you look at how can we be the most effective servant? Well, sometimes you have to expose yourself to really uncomfortable opportunities at times to see if that's a gift God gave you. Maybe it isn't. Maybe you'll find out really quick. I know some men that I've asked to lead songs, and after the first or second time, I say, yeah, that's not a gift that you've been given. We're not going to have you do that again. And they would agree with me. I mean, so but you do things by serving, don't you? And that's where you really find out about those gifts. Expose yourself to opportunities. And as we search for those gifts, as you and I look for them, as we search for them, we have to understand that God is not going to condemn us for not being able to list them all one by one. And so for some of us, it'd be real simple. One. Because we all have one. We know that. God says that. You have your calling, which was one gift. You have another gift you were given. God is far more interested in whether we are serving him. God is far more interested when we are serving his church, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. He's more concerned about his commandments. Are we following them? Are we doing them? Are we growing? Are we growing in grace and knowledge and understanding? Are we bearing the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit? That's what he's concerned with. You and I have to learn how to look for them. And when we find them, that we use them. Not about, again, for our benefit, not to be arrogant about it, not to think, oh, look at me, look what I can do, but to serve our brothers and sisters. That's what God is looking for. We have to be able to pray for them. Pray to have understanding about what it is God has given you. How can I use it the best in the church? How can I use it to exhort one another, to comfort one another, to heal one another? And so I think that in praying that, we ask God for the best way that it be most helpful to those around us. Brethren, God has given us so many things. But he's given us these spiritual gifts after our baptism, and those that aren't baptized yet, that's something that you can look forward to. But those who are baptized, he's given us those things. We need to be going out and asking for them. We need to try to look for them. We need to pray about them. And we need to use them. If that's the one thing that I want to say in this sermon, is to be using what God has given us. Not to put it on the back burner, not to put it on a shelf. Because if we don't use it, we may lose it. Have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath.